We always like to start the meeting with a reminder to bring your attention to the center, to attend to the center of you and the center of the group, in a sense, bringing your attention together, combining intentions, and becoming aware that together you create something that individually you don't have. There is a further creation, a joining of all of your attentions, your presences, and your energy being shared. This is enhanced by your soul's perspective coming in, by our presence, joining you, the council, starting to join you. And then as we did last week, becoming aware of the wind and the birds, the surroundings that are surrounding you, allowing all of that stimulus and awareness to be co-creating a greater experience that's all shared, that all comes together. The invitation, of course, is to learn to balance, juggle might be a better word, the ideas, the energy that all of you are sharing, your current physical incarnation, with the integration of your soul's perspective. And those two things coming together are giving rise to a third thing, which is the ensouled human, you, the expert on the physical form, integrated with your soul's perspective, walking on the physical earth. We're practicing this, especially at the beginning of the meeting, balancing that awareness of your physical needs, your comfort in the chair, your food digesting, whatever you've got going on, with your surroundings, which are enhanced because of the warm weather. We have the doors open, so you're having more interaction with your surroundings. So this balance, this mixture is something we want you to start becoming more and more and more comfortable with. And tonight we took it to another level by saying, and then you're mixing with the rest of each other too. So you're combining you, physical form, personality, soul's perspective, which is access to the Akashic records of you, with awareness of the group. Pardon us. And awareness of being together for a purpose. Together for a purpose. We bring this up especially tonight because tonight Elohim has a new tool for you, an exercise to work through. And it's the kind of exercise that you're going to do as a group. You'll do it individually, but you'll be doing it as a group as well. Meaning that you'll have your individual examples. But from each example in the group, we expect that you'll be able to draw something, learn something. Because remember that the presentation any individual person makes could not be part of your experience if it didn't reflect something in the internal version of you. So whenever someone comes to the microphone or shares on the internet, remember to look into that and see what part of you is true there as well. This is one of the ways that you'll start to experience oneness with each other when you start to recognize that you have a collaborative journey going on, an individuated collaborative journey. It's very powerful, and it is time to start experiencing that more and more. All right, we're going to go because we want to leave plenty of time for Elohim and the rest of the council. Good night. There's strength in numbers. You've heard this. Elohim has shared with you that you are a tribal being, meaning that you really have been built and groomed to live in community. Most of you don't. Most of you live in little boxy houses, on boxy streets, in boxy towns, where you might know a few people that live near you, but more likely, you don't know very many people at all. And the friends you have, most of you, are starting to have lots more friends on the internet than you have friends in person, at least that you interact with on a regular basis. So you have lost your sense of tribal. It's okay. You're exploring this. You're learning a lot about it. But the truth is, on a very deep level, you're a tribal being. You thrive on community. safety in numbers. When we talk about exploring oneness and learning what oneness is all about, it goes beyond the point of tribal. It goes way beyond that, of course, into we are all one, meaning we all, not just the 6 billion, 7 billion, or 8 billion of you that you have here, but all of all. So when we do exercises collaboratively, like we're getting ready to do, this is a good reminder of what it feels like to live in a tribal environment or a community. And it reinforces how you can learn from each other and know yourself through knowing others. Know yourself through knowing others. And that's really what we want to emphasize tonight, is that through this exercise, you will know yourself through knowing others, as well as knowing yourself through knowing you. And we want to move in this direction for the next who knows how many months. Knowing yourself through knowing others, meaning learning about who you are by observing your internal world being projected on the movie screen of your life. Taking responsibility for all creations in your life, including the creations of how other people are showing up in your life. Sometimes that responsibility looks like saying, wow, I want to change something in me so that I don't have these kind of drama llama experiences. And sometimes that looks like I want to celebrate that this person is in my life showing me this aspect of myself. And sometimes this looks like me saying, wow, I really have come a long way. And it looks like lots of other ways as well. Does this mean that you're responsible for the actions of others? No. You're not here to take responsibility for the actions of others. You're here to take responsibility for the fact that you have created action in your life through your desire to grow as a soul. Your desire to grow as a soul is showing up in your life. One of the main ways that you learn about that is through setting boundaries about things that you are not actually enjoying or you don't wish to repeat. We'll learn lots more about that too. But in the meantime, just keeping in mind that we are on the path to understanding, experiencing oneness, and we are discovering piece by piece by piece what that means and what it is to live in oneness. All right?
Yes.
Never say we don't tell you what's coming. Because every once in a while we do. Good night. Wow, they were fast, huh? They zippity-doo-dahed because they know we got something planned special. All right. So there's this thing about uncertainty. And we've talked about uncertainty. We've gone on and on about it for a little while now. And we said, oh, uncertainty this, uncertainty that, blah, blah, blah. And we realized you guys could probably use a little help with uncertainty. Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. You're uncertain about that? Okay, so Fred told you last week to dance in the delight on the edge of expansion, uncertainty, la 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 la, which was awesome. Good Fred stuff. Surprise what? Oh, and surprise. That's right, and surprise. So we realized that it might be true that you might not exactly know how to do that. It's all well and good to say do it, but if we don't tell you how, that would be kind of shitty. Right? Yeah. I mean, you guys are nice about it. You don't go, damn it, you didn't tell us how. But we wouldn't be surprised if you did. You know, like, hey, by the way. But luckily, Fred's at the end, so you can't, what are you going to say to the matriarch? By the way. Teach us that. No, it doesn't work that way. So it comes around to us again, and it's our turn. So what we did is we took Veronica out into the hammock, and we ran her through this little process, and she went, whoa. So we said, okay, good. Hopefully everybody will like it. The idea here is that your exploration of uncertainty is not just so that you flail around, not knowing what the hell you're doing, but so that you discover what the clarity is. No, we didn't say certainty. The clarity is that's underneath. You're looking to become clear about what's causing uncertainty so that you can really be dancing in uncertainty with your feet standing on clarity. Aha, that's a little part Fred left out. It's a good thing we're a team, huh? So the way you're going to do it is this. We'd like you to make a list, and we're going to give you like 5 minutes or something, who knows. And we just want you to make a list of things you're uncertain about. Now, it can be, I'm uncertain how long the car is going to last. I'm uncertain where my rent's going to come from. I'm uncertain about whatever. It doesn't have to be like the most outrageous uncertainties. It doesn't have to be the most silly uncertainties. Just, do you feel uncertain about it? Write it down. Okay? Start writing. Everybody, you internet people, are you writing? They must be writing because no one's saying yes. That's fine. You don't have to say yes to us. Just make sure you're writing or typing or whatever you're doing. Whatever comes to mind. This isn't one of those things you have to edit, right? Just whatever you feel uncertain about. Try to have 5, 10, 15 of them. Be really careful while you're doing this. You're not being mean to yourself. You're not judging yourself. You're not saying, oh, I can't write that one down. It's not important enough or any of that bullshit, right? All we're doing is writing down the things you feel uncertain about as they come to mind. Don't judge them. Don't have any sort of hang-ups. We're looking to get rid of some hang-ups tonight, not to make them worse. So just allow yourself to just be honest. You're not going to have to share your list with anybody. At least not the whole thing. And there's no have to's anyway. If you absolutely don't want to participate, you don't have to, but you know how that goes. Apparently, listing uncertainties is not difficult because everyone is still writing very, very quickly, and we see much ink on the pages here. This is good. Last time we had an exercise, we're not sure you guys came up with as many. We'll do another minute or so since you guys are obviously good at this. Okay, you feeling like, are you guys feeling like you've got enough? What a funny question. Do you have enough uncertainties?
Not sure.
You're still not sure. Mary thinks she's at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, I haven't written everything on my list. We're supposed to be uncertain about everything. I've got a lot going.
So. Okay, so you haven't, we'll just call that enough uncertainties. Okay? So it's not like a test that you have to say pens down, but at least pay attention while your pens are up. The sun has decided to come in and say hello right at you. You're in the hot seat, literally. Like, I'm your friend, but I'm going to sit like this for the next 5 minutes. Okay. So when you listed your uncertainties, we would imagine that was kind of a strange feeling on some level to like actually admit to yourself that you feel uncertain about that many things or that intensely or that whatever. So let's just real quick before we move to the next step, kind of take a breath together. Okay. We've done that step. We can ask the guardians to come in and strip away any sort of residual anxiety because we don't need to bring anxiety about the uncertainties in the next phase. We're clearing things up tonight. So just, wow, whoosh, that was heavy. We're glad we did that step. Okay. Now you can use your pen to make a little star or a circle or an underline or whatever you like. We want you to pick one of the things on your list as the one thing that you think about the most, the thing that comes up the most, that worries you the most, that's on your mind the most, that you're most uncertain about, that makes you the most crazy, whatever way you want to define it, pick one. And we mean one. We're talking to you. Because we know you. You'll be like picking four, going, I don't want to go by the rules.
It's none of your business what I do.
We're telling you what you're going to do. Totally busted. Have all the free will you want, but we'd like it if you played along since it's the first time we've done this. Okay?
One.
You can do it your other way later. Yeah. We need to see how this works in a group. Okay? Did you pick it? I guess that wasn't so hard. Everyone did it in a nanosecond. All right? And also, you guys are stirred up over there. Also, please make a mark next to the one that you think about the least. Not necessarily because it's the least troubling. This is where you have to use your big kid's discernment. All right. For Veronica, it was the one that she was less likely to let herself think about because it bugged her the most. So let's be really discerning here. Which one on your list is something that you don't let yourself think about the most? Mm-hmm. Got it? Yeah, was that? Okay. Was that harder? That's harder. This is the one that might show us the whole story that we're looking for tonight. How you internet people doing? You playing along? I wish they could just like nod or something. Okay, good. Yeah, thanks.
They could, but
yeah. Okay, good. So they're all playing along. Good. Okay. Again, oh God, now we have to take a deep breath. Ready? Really, let it go. Like, yes, we know. That's why we're doing the exercise, but we have to, each phase, we want to clear away so we can go into the next one as clear as possible. Okay. And that was, how was that? That feel a little bit hard, strange, different, weird, scary, intense,
no,
confusing?
It's easy for me, but it put the other one into different perspective.
A different perspective? When you had to pick the second one, it put the first one into a different perspective? Okay. You too? Okay. Interesting. Okay, deep breath again. God, the energy just builds up to like this little frenetic thing. And then, yeah, there's definitely, okay. Wow, I guess the timing's right to do this exercise because the energy in the room. Good thing we have the window open. Okay, yes. All right. Now, here's where it comes to having a lot of internal discernment and knowing the truth of you. And you all have this. We have complete faith in you about this. And pretty soon, we're just warning you, we're going to ask for someone to get up to the microphone, but not yet, okay? John's volunteering his neighbors. Okay. It's like everyone stepped back and the other person was looking at the birds. All right. This is a little bit like the core emotion process for those of you who have done that. We want you to think of the one thing that was the one you think about the most and the thing that you think about the least. We're going to think about them at the same time. Okay, the rest of them we're going to ignore for the rest of this exercise. It's just these two. We're going to think about them at the same time, and we're going to start to see how they're the same. Okay. This is why we're here to help. We don't just send this in an email, right? We're here to help because we're looking at how they're the same when you think about them at the same time. Because the way they're the same is the clarity. That's what we're looking for. The way they're the same is the clarity. And that doesn't mean you will know how they're the same because after all, these are things you're uncertain about. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing the exercise together. We have not seen so many bemused looks on your faces in years. Like the whole group has a look on their face of like, it's okay. This is new step. All right, who's going to get up there and tell us an example? Don't all rush up.
John volunteered.
Oh, that's right. Is that the rule that if you point at someone else that you're actually the one that's volunteering?
That's a scratch.
Okay, let's get the sound really good so everybody can hear Deb proper. No, but Deb's at the microphone, which you know that typically means we're not going to be able to hear her.
I thought I was supposed to talk over the top of it.
No, right, no. Straight into
okay.
it.
Into the...
Like, fine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll just stand here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, mine are, can I keep my physical form mobile? Because I tend to be really sedentary, and I have been my whole entire life. The other one is, where am I going to live? When we get ready to move, where the heck am I going to be?
Okay. And which one was the one you think about the most?
Actually, the physical form.
The physical one.
Yeah.
And the where am I going to live being the one that you let yourself think about the least, but scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we think that's the underlying thing in both of these. They're both scary. They're both scary survival things. And a lot of yours will probably be scary survival things, but we can't stop at that level because mm-hmm. we all know there's fear in everything. That's not where we want to stop. We want to go to the next level. But for you, when we look at this energetically with you, it really to us looks like, am I going to be able to continue to be me? How can I be me? Do I get to keep being me? Is being me gonna work? Right? There's a sense of, is the truth of me actually gonna function? This feels like there's an underlying anxiety about you're starting to really feel the truth of you being expressible,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know if it's functional.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's your clarity. My clarity is what I'm really insecure, uncertain, confused about. See how this works? We're funneling it down. Because what's happening, and you look at that entire list, if you look at that concept that we just illuminated and look at it in terms of each of those things on your list, they are going to be like offsprings of that one anxiety. This is what we suspect. Now, this is the first time we're doing this exercise. We could be wrong, but we doubt it.
For clarity, could you repeat it, please?
Yes. We're looking at, is being me functional?
Okay.
Is being me functional? Is living my truth functional? Because what we sense in the where am I going to live is really the question of, where can I make a living and have a life? Right?
Yes.
Where can the truth of me be alive and function and live? And can the authentic version of me actually stay alive on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
Have a house, have friends, have food, have a dog, right? Have a career that is meaningful to me.
Those were a lot of my other stuff.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Next. No, please.
I'm Sasha, and mine were partnership was the thing that I think about the most, and family obligation. Thank you. Family obligation, if there was any need for me to step in and help out if any of my family got sick or in any way needed help, because that in a way sort of, I can see where I would, out of a sense of duty to my family, get pulled into something that wouldn't be what I would want to do. And I don't think about that very often, but it's on the back burner.
Yeah, that's the one you think about the least.
And when I saw these immediately, I mean, I have a history of a divorce, so I have partnership issues, of course, and betrayal and the hurt that you can inflict on another person in a partnership to overcome. And my scattered, I'm not in contact with a lot of my family. I know where they are. I sort of keep tabs on them through the people that do in my family stay in touch. I was just talking to my brother today, but most of them are out of contact, and we're all rather willful minded and headstrong, so it's a mirror of what I have in me.
Mm-hmm.
So That those are my two things.
So the first one was just remind us.
Just partnership.
The idea of I'm uncertain if I'll ever have a partner.
Whether it be business, sure. Love, sure. Anything.
Partnership.
Play, whatever.
And the other one was the idea of sort of having community thrown on you and maybe not the kind of community you actually want to be in. But right. An obligation community.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting. On one, you have sort of voluntary community. On the other, you have obligatory community. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, see how this works? Mm-hmm. It starts to funnel down really fast. So what we would say is you're really looking at how you interact with other people, which is what we talk to you about all the time, mm-hmm. right? It's the subject you bring up all the time. You know, your what do you call them? Your demons or what? Right. Yeah. So this is something you've been looking at all the time. Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting to see this subject as the sort of the fertilizer that's springing out your uncertainties? Your uncertainties are coming from a centered place, a gathered place. So it's almost like a weed,
it's
you know,
a
that grows up.
Focusing lens.
Focus, yes. Yeah. Like a focused place, mm-hmm. the roots. All the roots are feeding the same plant, but it's making different shoots. And so what can happen is that you think all these different insecurities or uncertainties are different things. But what we're trying to illuminate tonight is you can work on all of them simultaneously if you get down to what's at the root. And for you, you told us. We didn't even have to tell you. You know it's about you're relating to other people. And for you, we mostly think that you concern yourself with when you relate to other people, am I going to lose who I am? Do I lose Sasha when I'm in partnership? Do I lose Sasha when I'm in family? Do I lose Sasha when I'm in business agreements? Does Sasha have to somehow modulate and modify in a way that's against my conscious desires or my free feelings of free will or just flat out what I want to do that day in order to be in community? And you have this uneasiness about how to be in community and still be true to the truth of you. It's a little bit like what Deb talked about, right? Because remember, we're seeing each other, right? You guys haven't forgotten that part. So what we would say to you is the tendency is to feel like you have to lose the truth of you to gain community. And what we want to see is that your constant renewal of the awareness of the truth of you attracts community that respects that. So if you did have a family emergency like we looked at with Laura for the past couple of weeks, if there is an emergency with the family, you don't get sucked into their way of doing business. You go there with your way of doing business and you bring that to the equation. That's not necessarily easy to absorb, but that's what we see as your next, you know, another a next chunk of your growth. I take the truth of me mm-hmm. into.
A side note is there's a sense of worrying about acceptance, especially as I get older, whether I'll be accepted in my old age.
Yeah.
Into kicked out of the tribe because of old age kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's you accepting maybe a little more aches and pains or slowing down, not able to climb up 5 million trees a day, right? It's you accepting you because that's the current truth of you. And if mm-hmm. that current truth of you is being shown to the world, you're the one who has to accept it first. And if somebody says, I don't accept you because you're getting older and you accept you, you can just laugh at them and say, yeah, well, it'd be nice if I wasn't getting older, but I am. I haven't quite figured out how to reverse age yet. So I need to accept that truth about me. Therefore, others can accept it as well. Mm-hmm. That's that internal world showing you your internal world projecting into your external life. So your lack of acceptance about growing older, as an example, if someone showed you non-acceptance of you being older, then, you know, that's that fingers pointing back at you thing.
Right.
Got it?
Great.
Okay. Who's next?
Thank you.
Just jump up there. Yeah. We have plenty of people, so let's.
All right. Well, the first one, the one that I think about the most is money. And next to that, I wrote job versus heart's desire, which is interesting. And then the one that I think about the least is habits and judgments versus preferences.
Yeah.
So, gee, what a surprise.
And when you combine those, where do you see them combining?
Well, I see the idea of a job as being a habit, you know, and a judgment that I have about how you get money. Mm-hmm.
And my preference would be to do what I want to do, mm-hmm. you know, so gee, what a surprise, yeah. you know, pretty yeah. simple.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And very direct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So when you look at that, what we would say to you is that whenever either one of these thoughts come up, what you're looking at is, we've got a theme going tonight. Can I, or have I, this is for you, have I given myself permission to do X number of minutes or X number of hours of my heart's desire today, regardless? Like, I'll go to work for 8 hours, but will I set aside 20 minutes to do something that resonates, that strums my heartstrings, that is my heart's desire, whatever language you like? Like, giving yourself a date, you know, taking yourself out on a date, giving yourself permission, allowing yourself to have the freedom to express that side of you, rather than be like, well, someday I won't need a job and I'll be able to be my heart's desire. Prioritizing expressing your heart's desire, expressing the truth of you.
Yeah.
You know, like, for an example, let's say with Veronica playing her cello, you know, she has to prioritize that. If she doesn't prioritize it, the day goes by and she didn't play that day.
Right.
So yes, there's still emails. Yes, there's still website. Yes, there's still channeling. Yes, there's still. But if she doesn't say, this next 30 minutes is for me and the cello, it doesn't happen. So maybe that example shows it to you.
Yes.
That's what we see that you need, is to prioritize letting your heart's desire express in whatever way makes sense in that moment.
Okay, thanks.
And it can just be a half an hour. It doesn't have to be, oh, I went to work for 8 hours, I have to do this for 8 hours.
Yeah, that's my thinking. Yeah. I get into the, you know, well, I need a whole chunk of time
yeah.
to do this, or why do it at all?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's definitely
that's that
me.
Thing that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay,
thank
next.
You. Can I do mine? I'm going to do mine. That's interesting. My,
She's definitely the tallest person in the room, right?
Okay. My, the one I think about the most often is, what's my place? My benefits mankind. Where do I fit in? Mm-hmm. What's my hourly worth? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just all those. And it was interesting because the one I think about the least is whether or not my kids are okay.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Isn't that, because I just know they're okay.
Yeah.
I just know they're okay. So I just put it out of my head because, you know, I've been just mom for so long that they were my whole life for.
Yeah.
So I just know they're okay. But where do I fit in? So do I need to be, how do I sustain being mom? Because that wasn't sustainable. And then go back to being mom, because this is so weird for me to be in this.
Isn't it interesting how both of those are roles?
Right.
You see? Both of them are roles. Where do I fit in? I'm a mom. You see? They're both roles. So really, your concern about where do I fit in, when you have kids, I'm a mom. There I go. Ta-da! I have a role. But because that role, although extraordinary, doesn't complete you, that's not all you are. When you throw yourself into identifying as a mom and only a mom, you're not satisfied, which is why we get to see you in the physical form right now.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
We got to lay eyes on
that's
you
right.
because you need a
I'm
break.
Here. Yeah.
But what we're hoping you're discovering is that your role isn't a singular thing. It's not a one-off. I don't get one label, you know, stick it on your shirt. Hello, I am role. No. And your benefit to society, the gift you give to your society, is emanating your truth. Well, the only way you can emanate your truth is if you know it, which is what you're really looking for right now. What is my truth? And your truth is that you're a mother, but I'm a mom and these are the
things right.
that you're learning, you're growing, you're developing, and you're afraid you're going to lose if you go back home.
Right.
And that's the discernment, is am I going to lose those because I want to go habitually back into this need for a role to be filled simply by the mom word? And that's your discipline, is mom is an important aspect of who I am, and it's not all of who I am. Mom is an important aspect of who I am, and it's not all of who I am. And we'd imagine if you look at the rest of your things on your list, you can look at them with that idea of, How am I asking this uncertainty to define who I am? Because that's the question you're really asking yourself, is how do I define who I am? And all of your uncertainties most likely are shades of, I don't know who I am, how I fit in, what role I want to play.
Right.
But I know that throwing myself completely into the role of mom with nothing else is suffocating.
Right.
It's like you can't breathe.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with how you relate to your kids. It has everything to do with the fact that you're not only that, but because you were looking for a role and a name tag, and mom is a good one because it'll keep you damn busy, right? You got lost. That's why you basically said, ah!
And gave that Sonoma. Feels right.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Two tall people in a row.
Yeah, I figured it. Might as well. So I had the one that I thought about the most was being uncertain about finances. And the one I was uncertain about the least was the kids getting older. So when I first combined them, I thought, well, maybe, you know, the easy answer is, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, funding college, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But when I looked deeper into it, I saw it as more of a core emotion issue. You know, the kids getting older and not being, it's, I mean, it's going to be a long time before they leave, but even in a couple of years, they're going to want to withdraw from me, you know, and my own, you know, fear of being alone and my community stuff. So it seems like that was more the underlying issue.
Yeah. And for you, actually, we're going to make a secondary request. We're going to ask that you don't have the money one be one of your two. Because we think that's too easy. So instead of having the money one be one of your two, we want
change
you
it later or change it now.
We want you to pick another one. We want to pick pick the one you think about the most that doesn't have to do with money.
It would probably be, you know, the direction to take my business moving forward.
So,
and that's more of a, you know, career
oriented
thing.
So now they're more closer to the same because now it's, where am I going to be when the kids grow up? Where am I going to be in my business? You see how they come together? Yeah. It's like, where am I going to be? So we've shifted our theme. Now the two of you have this more of a similar theme. This is fascinating to us. So the idea of where am I going to be? Where am I going to be when the kids are older? How, where am I going to be as far as relating to my career, relating to my business, relating to my community of professionals that I'm in? You know, where, how do I fit in? You've had a big change with your office location and all that. So that makes sense to us, this sort of cauldron. It's like a bubbling cauldron under your feet. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know where to put my feet. I don't know, have any sensibility.
I don't really fear it. It's just, you know, if you're asking for uncertainties, it's just things I think about.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a fear.
Yeah.
Right. Because we know everything's scary. Everything can be scary. Sitting here could be scary. Well, sitting here is scary for some of you right now, but anything can be anything can be scary. So whether or not it scares you, we don't care. I mean, we care, but we don't care in the contents of the exercise. And the contents of the exercise is, what are you uncertain about? What troubles you? So it's more, less what are you afraid of and more what troubles you, what weighs on your mind, what gives you anxiety. If you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, what are you going to be thinking about? That kind of stuff, right? And for you, and the idea of your core emotions mixed up in the idea of, you know, what is my role? And we've talked to you many times about, what is my role as a father? What is my role as a community member? What is my role as a leader? Right? What is my role? Where do I fit in? How do
those
I...
are some of my other ones,
yeah,
too.
One more point. The idea of, what is my role? Where, not exactly where do I want to fit in, as much as, how do I want to know how I am truthful? It's a little bit like what Sasha, we were talking to Sasha about. The sense of having a clear idea of who you are, right? And having that clarity be able to be incorporated into walking forward in your life. Even when walking forward in your life looks like things like the kids growing up or looks like uncertain business paths. So again, it comes back to, for you, checking in and saying, am I being the truth of me? Or am I being what I think this situation calls for? Like, I read the book and it says to do this, or I'm at this meeting and this is how we behave at the meeting. there's a point in time where you checking in with, am I bringing the conscious, the most conscious version, the truthful version, the highest vibrational person to this encounter, or am I bringing what I think is needed, wanted, slash desired by others?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where, you know, that's the underlying clarity under your feet that takes that bubbling cauldron away, is regardless of what's going on, am I bringing the highest vibrational version of me to it? And, you know, you just shared with us last week how you went back home and you saw people that you hadn't seen for a long time and you had a lot of different encounters with them. So you've had some practice at this. So that'll give you some places to sort of ping and say, did I bring the truth of me there, or did I bring, you know, John, I went to college with you, John, there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we think you brought a lot of the truth of you there.
Mm-hmm.
But we think there were probably a lot of situations where it might just have been easier
mm-hmm.
to be the old you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you have a perfect little palette to explore this with.
Great. Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome. Don't be shy. Come on. Jump up.
Working on family issues and clearing.
Apparently.
Which is why I haven't been here for 2 weeks in the flesh. Actually, only 1 week in the flesh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems
like
that. So number one is getting that house on the market. You know, how much more should I spend on getting, you know, professional advices and completions. And
yeah.
That was my most thought of. And then the one I push away the hardest is, I'm really ready for some new clothes and a new diet and a change in this mm-hmm. stress, because it's time.
Yeah.
And yeah. I keep pushing that one away because yeah. get this other stuff done. It's too big. It's in my face. You know, it's one of my 10.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea here is, a little bit like what we talked to Renee about, prioritizing,
mm-hmm.
prioritizing that in the middle of putting a house on the market and deciding which experts to talk to, you can spend 45 minutes going to the mall and buying new underwear.
Mm-hmm.
It's really allowed. It's really allowed. Like, it's really allowed for you to put you, Heidi, before you, Heidi, the matriarch of your family, taking care of family business. It's really allowed. Because that's what the matriarch does. The matriarch shows everybody else how to take care of themselves. A good matriarch, right? A good matriarch
True.
Says, I'm going to be the example of healthy. And that's what we'd like for you to kind of sink in. I'm going to be the example of healthy. And the thing you don't want to think about very often is how to be the example of healthy, right? You don't want to mm-hmm. think about that. How do I be healthy? Diet, exercise, clothes. How do I take care of myself? Oh, wait, I'll take care of myself later when I'm done taking care of everyone else.
Oh, this is a crap.
Crap. Yeah. Yeah. So for you, primarily, it comes down to, I want to be the example of healthy. Healthy spiritually, healthy physically, healthy socially, healthy financially, healthy. And when I find myself not being healthy, that becomes a high priority. It doesn't have to obsess me. It just mm-hmm. becomes a high priority. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, I do.
So we've worked with you for years now, we think, about service mentality and
yep.
healing your service mentality.
Yep.
And the beautiful thing about when you heal something huge is then you become an expert
mm-hmm.
and you can do something with it. So what we'd like you to do is be in service to yourself. Because
right.
you know how to be in service.
Right.
So be in service to yourself. And we imagine some of the other questions on your list will be, or uncertainties on your list will be attended to by considering those thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Yes. Who's next? This whole side of the room. Do we have to call on you?
Donna.
The internet people are going to take your spots if you don't get your butt up there.
The thing that I think about the most is whether I should clean my husband's things that are in our shared space, which is a mess in our bedroom and has been for over 35 years. And I can't talk to him about it. I've watched other people talk to him about it, and it's ruined relationships. And so it just stays there. It's unhealthy. There's spiders in it, dust in it. I just don't touch it. But it is our shared space.
Okay.
So that's one. And then the thing, the other thing is moving away from my husband. So now, yeah. But that doesn't.
But they all needed a good laugh because the tension was too high. So thank you, Donna, for giving everybody a chance to kind of kick some tension
out.
And
I can laugh with that too. I can't.
Since both of them had the word husband in them, that helps to narrow down how they're the same. We'll just say that.
It does.
When you have the same language in both of your uncertainties, it makes our job easy.
It does. But now moving away could mean two things to me.
Okay.
One could be moving into the other bedroom where I don't have to look at all those things, because that's a visual thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always in front of me. I'm careful in the middle of the night that I don't fall over it. And so moving into the other bedroom or just leaving him.
Yeah.
So then I look at this as my throat chakra is my weakest chakra, and that's the communication chakra, that I should talk to him about this.
Okay, hang on. We're going to just interrupt you real quick. Because your throat chakra is your chakra that you're working on the most. That's true. Mm-hmm. And your throat chakra is your communication chakra. But it doesn't always mean talking to another person. It means communicating your truth. And that means communicating your truth to yourself. Right? So knowing what your truth is. And the truth of you is that you have a situation that's unchanging, that you don't feel like you can modify, and that you're curious about how to exit the situation.
Right.
That's really what you're curious about, is how to exit the situation. Now, we always advise people who want to exit situations to do mad scientist. You experiment in the situation you're in. Now, we've known you long enough that we know that talking to him about his piles of crap is not a good plan. Because if it was a good plan, you would have done it 34 and a half years ago. Right? That's that thing, if you thought about it long enough, thinking would have solved it because you've thought about it long. That thing. We can't even remember how to say it. If thinking would have solved it, it would have solved it long ago because you sure have thought about it enough. So if talking to him would have fixed this, you would have done it a long time ago. But you've watched him interact with other people who've brought it up. It's caused lots of problems. You know it's a taboo subject. So we would say, why don't you experiment with living in the other bedroom? Because it gives you a chance to change a variable in a very non-confrontational and not a huge disruption to your way of being life. Wait, not a huge disruption to your life way of doing it. It's a big change for you, but it's not, you know, calling the van and putting stuff in it and driving away someplace. Now, what's interesting to us, but that's just information, but what's interesting to us about the two stories that you brought up, beyond the fact that they both involve the word husband, which of course does make our job easier, is that they both are about your relationship with him, not your relationship with yourself. You know, it's, should I talk to him? Should I move into the other room? It's not, what do I want? What do you want? So we would imagine if you look at the rest of your things on your list, a lot of the questions are going to be answered by, or a lot of discovery will happen with, what do I want? If I didn't have to take the kids into consideration, if I didn't have to take mom into consideration, if I didn't take money into consideration, if I didn't take into consideration what the neighbors would think, if I just asked myself, and I didn't couch it in any woo-woo terms of like, oh, well, it's such good growth to live in this sandpaper environment or any bullshit like that. If you just said, everyone else is off the question, what do I want? Where can I see myself living my greatest truth? Knowing my greatest truth, discovering my greatest truth.
I know that. I just like to live by myself.
Okay, then you have...
But that's easy to say and not necessarily easy to do.
Well, it's easy to say, and if it's your truth, it's your truth. And then what you do is you align your actions behind the truth that is your truth. That's spiritual growth. That's you respecting yourself. Now, is it challenging? Sure, but you've done challenging things in the past. The thing here is that the truth of you, which is what you know is factual for you, and the way that truth is able to be expressed in the world is very kiboshed, right? It's like you've got a big old over the top of it. And that big old over the top of it, you can label as your husband or your mother or money or time or I'm too old or my kids aren't old enough or whatever you want to label it. You have absolute free will to label it whatever you want. But it would be interesting as a change to take that kibosh and label it as my choice. It's been my choice to stay. And maybe I came up with good reasons, but it's been my choice to stay. And I'm going to own the fact that I have chosen to stay, and I continue to choose to stay, even though I know my truth is I want a different living situation. And what we would advise you to do is to look at the rest of the things you're unsure about on your list, uncertain about, and ask yourself what the truth is and what and how you have chosen to interact with your truth. Have I acted on it or have I kiboshed it? Have I acted on it or have I kiboshed it?
Okay.
All right?
I can do that.
Yep. Thanks. You go. You're welcome. Jump up there. Yay. Well, Marilyn's a little tall too. We're going to see everyone's relative height by the moving the microphone.
Thank you, Mary. Mine are quite similar to Deb's. My most important one is, can I get bigger? Can I be bigger? And the least important was, can I go on a nice vacation? Mm-hmm. And the bottom line for all of that is, can I make a choice for me? Mm-hmm. Can I be who I am, my true self?
Yeah. And it's important here that we're just going to correct your language a little bit just so when people are listening later, they know it's not your most important and your least important uncertainty. It's the one you think about the most and the one you don't let yourself think about the most.
That's because
they're all equally interesting. But what's revelatory is the one you think about the most is the one you think is the big problem. The one you don't think about the most is the one that really gets to the crux of it. Okay, so the one you thought about the most is, can I get bigger, right? And that's because you've been going through this whole purging process and experiencing yourself in all these new ways. And like, is it really okay? You're a little bit, the visual we get is like an umbrella and it's like one quarter or one third open, you know, and it's still kind of bent and it has some potential, but do I have it the oomph to push it all the way? You know, has that little snapper thing. Sometimes it's hard to get past if you haven't opened it. So we see you as like this umbrella. And the idea of, can I go on a vacation, what you left out of that is, can I go on a vacation alone and be that person? That person who goes on a nice vacation, just takes care of me and doesn't need a man to come along with me or doesn't have to worry about the money or doesn't say I don't deserve it or doesn't say I can't do it or, you know, it's the same thing. Can I get big is, can I do this thing for myself just because I want to? Mm-hmm. Is it okay? Well, whose permission are you asking? We hope you're only asking your own.
Yeah.
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 And your buddy over there in the green shirt, that one, you, right? You heard her story.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that you guys have this little dovetail thing going on because you have for years. So the question for both of you is, I know my truth. Am I going to let myself actually live the truth of me that I know? And we hope none of you have forgotten the first part of the exercise, which was look into each other's questions and find where you're sharing oneness with each other, because that one's a big deal. Why do you think we've spent months asking what is true now? Where is your truth and where are you not letting yourself know it, think about it, express it, act on it,
mm-hmm.
believe in it?
I'm a lot further down the road than I was 3 months ago.
We agree. No doubt in our minds that you are a lot further down the road. But it's a little bit like saying, and we know we can say this to you because we know you want this to get straightened out. It's a little bit like saying, I'm only getting a little wet because my umbrella is only half open. Right? You can picture that visual. Mm-hmm. Like you're in the rain and you're like, well, I'm only getting a little wet. Some of me is dry because your umbrella is only half open. So what we say to you is, what is it that you are not saying where is it you are not giving yourself permission to just push that freaking umbrella all the way open? Who are you waiting to get permission from? Or who are you waiting to get, like, that feeling of, will I be alone if my umbrella is all the way open? You know, am I going to be, who's even going to be in my life if my umbrella is all the way open? And the thing is, you'll be in your life for the first time completely. You'll be in your life for the first time completely. And then you will attract the people who want to be in community with you from that perspective. And you'll have boundaries around environments and situations and relationships that don't facilitate you staying in the open umbrella position. Because mm-hmm. it's hard to have boundaries when you're still kind of chintzing at it a little. You know, like, I'm not really sure. Now, we want to give you all kinds of credit for having a half-open umbrella because it didn't used, you know, it used to be like in the trunk of your car. So we're not saying you haven't come far. But what we're saying is, because you told us with your thing that you think about the least about the vacation, you told us, I don't let myself think very often about my uncertainty about taking a vacation. Because that would mean your umbrella is all the way open. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you sit with that, we would say to take in the idea that as you experience yourself wide open, what are you most afraid of? Because you're not actually afraid to experience yourself wide open. You're afraid of the repercussions of that expression. And we want you to know, we want you to discover what it is you're afraid is you're going to lose or it's going to cost you if you actually pop that umbrella all the way open. What is it going to cost me? What's the price to be paid? Because we feel very strongly within you that there's an energetic that says there's a big price to be paid if I express my completeness. If I show the truth of me, my complete self, if I set boundaries, if I stand up and say what's right for me and what's wrong for me, I will have to pay a price.
I'll have to think about that because that wasn't the way I was going with it. Mm-hmm. It was more of fear, not connected with someone else's approval so much, just a fear of being bigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the price of being bigger? Right? You're afraid of being bigger. Why? Is the question to answer. Why am I afraid of being bigger? What do I think is going to happen if I'm bigger?
Well, yeah, that's questions I need to ask myself.
Yeah. Because what we see, and that's where we see, is that you say, I'm afraid to get bigger because it's going to cost me something. And we don't mean by dollars. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to have to pay a price. Hmm. It's a little bit like, you know, if you're an independent frontierswoman back in the frontier days, you know, who wants to be your husband if you're this tough, independent woman, you know? If the traditional woman is very passive and, you know, cooks flapjacks every morning and you're out rounding up the sheep on your horse and thinking, you know, the truth of me is I'm rounding up sheep on my horse and I need a man who likes that truth of me. And your belief is there is no man that likes that kind of truth. Therefore, I'm going to have to be by myself or I'm going to have to swallow that aspect of myself in order to be in a relationship.
I really didn't get that feeling during these last 2 or 3 months. I felt that stepping out, stepping away is a lot easier than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can do it at any time.
Mm-hmm.
and that I didn't need to have anybody mm-hmm. in my life, mm-hmm. any relationships mm-hmm. to be who I am.
Yeah. So you had that experience. Mm-hmm. So you got to see what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And then you came back to an old environment. And mm-hmm. so now you're getting to see what it feels like to bring that truth mm-hmm. and muck it around in here and see, you know, mad scientist, see mm-hmm. what the experiment results. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying that didn't work. What we're saying is energetically, we can still see more of it for you to work on. There's a habit.
Sure. Huh? Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's all. So you went, you learned something very important. Mm-hmm. You brought it back into this world. Now you're learning what it means to be that very important thing in this world and mm-hmm. make decisions and boundaries about that fact, those mm-hmm. facts that you have. Mm-hmm. So what we would find fascinating is how you're going to take what you learned in those last 3 months and go forward with it mm-hmm. rather than just have it be, well, I did that, right? And go
no,
backward.
Yeah, I want to go forward with it.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the umbrella half open feeling mm-hmm. is, am I going to take what I learned in those 3 months and push the umbrella all the way open mm-hmm. come what may, mm-hmm. or am I going to just try to do a havesy dabsy fakey dakey thing and see if I can kind of pretend both are real?
Because no,
those are oil and water.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
No, that wasn't what I was.
Now we're
do.
On the same page. Excellent. Yes. Excellent. Good. Okay, we've got one from the internet since you guys are slow to the microphone. Yulia says, the thing she thinks about the most is, will I meet the man of my dreams? And the thing she thinks about the least is how to express myself in new ways. Yeah, so the whole will I meet my man of my dreams thing is a lot of energy around now not being okay, right? Like what's going on now isn't okay because the man of my dreams isn't here. Which probably almost every single one of you, depending on if you like men or women, could fix that sentence to be true for both of you. And how to express myself in new ways, the energy is like, okay, I need to express myself in new ways, but how, again, it comes down to the truth. When I look at expressing myself in new ways, how will I be received? It's a little bit like we just talked about you. You know, if the truth of you is to go ride the horse and round up the sheep, and you have a preconceived notion that men won't like that, then it's really hard to feel like you could get a partner, right? So, Yulia, what we see for you is that the combination of these two is it safe to be me? And will that me ever be loved? So is it safe to be me and to still experience, will I experience love being me? Ah, the energy just went kajunga. Will I experience love being me? Yeah. Well, can you love yourself if you're not? Exactly. Brutal. That's brutal. That's cutting right to the core of it. That's grown up light worker ascension stuff. That's probably one of the most grown up things we've ever asked you to look at. Can you love yourself if you're not? And you really only can attract the man or woman of your dreams is if you love yourself. They don't come if you don't. If you don't love yourself, you get somebody that you have one of those stories you tell your girlfriends 5 years later. Like, oh, fuck, can you believe this guy? That's what happens. Huh? The guy of your nightmares. Yeah. So can you love yourself? Can you live with yourself if you don't love you? Right? The girls could the girls could crack the whip hard for you guys on that, right? That's one of the reasons we have the girls. Because you cannot ascend parts of you that you hate or ignore. You don't have to even love it exactly, but you have to at least acknowledge it. And eventually acknowledgement leads to appreciation, even the parts of you can't stand. You will appreciate if you give yourself the chance to acknowledge them. You've learned that. Yeah, we felt you kind of going, oh yeah, I know all about that. Can you love, will I ever be able to be loved just as the truth of me? And the question really is, can I love the truth of me? Can I love the truth of me? All right, Yulia, I hope you're still there. Okay, Paula, where will I be living in the new future, in the near future? Oh, see, now they're all like going to type. We have to hang in there. Okay, they type and then it moves. So it's kind of hard for us. Okay, let's focus. Where will I be living in the near future? Yeah, that's one to worry about big time. Will I have a partner? Mm-hmm. All right, Paula. So when we look at yours, where will I be living in the near future? Of course, that comes down to this idea that having a sense of foundation is really important for you. And will I have a partner? Same thing, foundation. This idea of I have some place to stand on, a little bit like what we talked to John about energetically, at least it's a similar picture. The idea of will I have a foundation to stand on? Will I have a place where I feel safe to start from? And again, you can't wait until you have that to start feeling safe. So for you, it really comes down to where I am is safe for me because I'm bringing the completeness of me to it. Where I am is safe for me is yours. Where I am is safe for me. So whether you're at work, whether you're wherever you go, where I am is safe. That's going to be yours. Now we're going to try to do these fast. We hope that works for you, Paula. We know you well enough that that one's probably good. Okay, hang on. Leslie, here's mine. Most. What will happen with my back? And then what can I do to pay off my debts? Okay, cool. So what's interesting is yours are focused in this sense of inquiries, you know, in the sense of what will, right? They energetically, they feel very future-based rather than like some people would have said, what's going on with my back? How can I pay off my debt? Right? You phrased it as what will happen? What can I do? So there's this sense of these are big things that aren't in this moment. There's like this, this is your picture, right? There's these things that aren't in this moment. They're not connected to this moment. They're not part of this moment, but they bug me. So of course you can't come to any resolution of them because you're not bringing them into this moment. So drag them right into your lap. And if we look at them together, let's see, we have her back and debts. Now back stuff usually has to do with feeling too much responsibility, right? You have too much responsibility. You can literally see it. It's like you're weighed down, right? That usually has to do with back problems. So we see that there's a sense of responsibility and you just want to play and have fun and not have to be in charge of nothing, right? So this idea of all these things that are, I want to throw them off into the future so that in this moment I can be free to play and have fun and relax. So you have to find a way to create fun and play and relax concurrently with the underlying concerns. There's a sense that I have to be a grown up and pay my bills and work really hard and I really want to just go and play and have fun. So like we talked to Renee earlier, booking out time to make playtime, booking out time to have fun. And when you're doing things that are grown up and responsible and yeah, all that, saying, I can make this fun too. If nothing else, I can have fun laughing at the fact that I'm trying to make it fun, right? Find some way to bring some fun into the attention you're paying to what you might feel like are grown up things. Okay? All right, let's see if we can do this. Rick says, I have no idea, which is also, okay, Rick, we don't know if you heard the beginning part of the meeting, which was where everybody made a list of their uncertainties, the things they were uncertain about. And then on that list of uncertainties, they picked the one that they think about most often, and they picked the one that they don't let themselves think about very often. So if you could come up with those things, we'll come back to you. Yulia says, thanks. Mindy says, relationship with her daughter. And I do not allow myself to hang in the spot of everything is actually uncertain as that is too spooky. Okay, that's interesting. She's uncertain about not letting herself think about uncertainties. You guys are also very clever. So your relationship with your daughter and then not feeling like you can allow yourself to be in uncertainty because it's too uncertain is we're going to do the second one first because that's more fascinating. The idea of I don't feel like I can be in uncertainty because it's too uncertain is the idea that the world is more than I can handle. The world is beyond what I can do. The world is too much for me. So what has to happen when you start to feel that way is, again, what is in your lap? Bring it back. What is true now? What is the bottom of my foot doing? What is my left elbow doing? Bringing it back in. You got to watch that you don't have too many feelers out into the world telling you who you are, but instead you bring it in so you can experience the truth of you in relationship to you. And see, you wonder about your relationship with your daughter, because part of what you're doing is having the truth of you be in relationship to you. The truth of you in relationship to you. The truth of you in relationship to you. The truth of you in relationship to you. It's like one of these deals, you know, those Mobius strips or whatever they're called. Where's the truth of me in relationship to me? And then knowing the truth of you in relationship to you, then you can put in the truth of me in relationship to my daughter, the truth of me in relationship to my daughter. You can factor that in once you get in the flow of the truth of you in relationship to you. That's your main thing. Okay, that was Mindy, right? Anthony says, money is the one he thinks about the most, and when am I going to move is the one he thinks about the secondary, doesn't let himself think about the most. Just a moment. Let's see if we're going to have Anthony choose something other than money. One of the reasons we have you guys choose something other than money is like such a sweep everything under the carpet that the energy is not as clear when we look at those two. Let's see. Yeah, Anthony, let's look at your list and give us the second most one that you think about the most. Okay? Business. You got to give us just a bit more than that, please. We're trying to find an energetic thread, and it's not really clear with just one word. We're going to skip over to Laura now. The thing she thinks about the most is, should I retire? Yes. Heidi says yes. Should I retire or else move to hang on to the job? That's what she thinks about the most. Wow, that's a lot to think about. And the least is, will this ever-present fear ever end? Yeah. Ooh. Okay, everybody has to breathe. Yeah. When you look at, should I retire, hang on to the job? Should I retire, hang on to the job? Should I retire, hang on to the job? Right? There's this dance. And what can happen is you get into real big duality where there's only two choices. Retire or hang on to the job. Like any other job doesn't even enter your mind, right? It's like this, you know? And what happens when you do, eventually it gets rubbed raw, right? It chafes, it gets rubbed raw, and it hurts. And that's why we feel this like pain inside of her from going, I don't know. Stop. Yes, just stop. Just hold still. Just hold still about that. And instead of being in duality, we're just going to put like job as your number one story. And then your ever-present fear, part of that ever-present fear is that you have duality is a major part of being human. We understand that. You all live in duality. So when you take duality and you put it in a no stop zone and you start to feel that you only have a couple of choices, it's really easy to be in fear if neither one of those choices feels like it's anything good, right? We're going to stick a needle in your eye or we're going to put hot coals under your feet. And you're like, I'm scared, right? Two shitty choices makes for a pretty shitty experience. So here what we would say to you, Laura, is when you find yourself feeling fear, when you find yourself obsessing about the job situation or you wonder, should I retire? To just ask yourself, what else is happening in this moment? And most cases will say, what is in your lap? You have plenty in your lap. What we'd like you to do is to lift your eyes out of your lap and look at the horizon, right? And so for you, we have this tool that we call looking out the window, which means every day at roughly the same time, you look at the same vista out a window or a door or go outside or whatever, and require of yourself that you see something new. The leaves are a different color. The grass is longer. The bird just flew by. Whatever. Because there's a sense that what we want to see you do is it's like taking a deep breath and letting your rib cage expand and see more than just duality that you're in. So even when you're at work and you have these questions running through your mind, just asking yourself, I want to see something new today. I want to see something new today. And it can be something simple like, you know, the elevator's on floor number 5 and yesterday was on floor number 2. Or it can be something really profound. Wow, my coworker, you know, she's acting different today. And requiring yourself to see these different things, we think, is really going to help you because we want to see you seeing more than just two, more than just duality. Duality's strong. It's a reality. It's one of the things we work on a lot. Okay, we got to speed up. Okay, so Anthony says, will I find a business investor, or and when am I going to move?
Anthony.
Oh, well, I think about expanding his business and when he's going to move. Okay, good. So the idea of, you know, wanting to expand the business and feeling like, when am I going to be able to move? And it's funny because we know you mean move house, but what we feel underlying it is move period, shift, move, generate some non sitting still energy in your life, right? Shifting energy. And we know you well enough to know this is what you're really looking at a lot, and you've been looking at a lot. But the energy we're looking at with you tonight is underlying that is having a real lack of clarity about where to move to. And we don't mean your house. We mean you shift to what direction to go in. And you have a little bit of the opposite of problem as Laura, in the sense that you're finding lots of options, but none of them you're quite, pardon us, you're quite dialed in on. You're not sure which one is the right option to go with, where to move to, how to shift, how to get anything going. And we would say to you, what would be really fascinating is to find just one thing. And it doesn't have to be big, huge, oh, $20 million investor. It can be, oh, I'm going to take yoga today. Or, oh, I'm going to walk the dog a different path. Or, oh, I'm going to, you know, drive the car a different way. We feel like there's a sense that you do a lot of internal shifting, and you do a lot of growth, but that growth hasn't moved into the world. And we know Veronica hooked you up with John on the email, because you guys both have the same story, that same energy. Maybe you should both go to the Grand Canyon together. Anyone who listens to the Q&As knows what we're talking about. The idea that you need to take who you are out into the world, and not just as a businessman, not just as I got an investor, not just as that, but in a case of, I'm just going to take who I am and what I know out of this room into the world in some way that I haven't done the last 2 months. I'm going to find some way to walk in the world, walk my truth in the world. Yep, that's it. Okay, let's see. Rick, where will I move? And okay, Rick, where will I move? And am I following my heart or my head? Ooh, we haven't had that one yet, have we? Who says it? You have to pick? And we mean that. Who says you have to pick? Right, a lot of light workers kind of get into this whole thing of, I got to be heart-centered, and I have to. And, you know, sometimes we say that's talking woo-woo. And you're not necessarily talking woo-woo, but you can slip into that. You can slip into talking woo-woo, because it's okay to use your head. You've got a good one. You're a sharp thinker. You have a lot of thoughts. And you have a sense of, am I coming from my heart? What we'd like to see that language change to, am I coming from my truth? Right? Because we think, at least in our teachings, that's what that really means. And we think sometimes people say, am I coming from my heart? And they don't exactly know what that means, but they're afraid, they just think too much. You think a lot. It's okay. It's not against the rules to think. We just want you to be expressing the truth of you through your thinking. Not being obsessive, not being habitual, not being repetitive, right? That's not the truth of you. The truth of you isn't the thoughts that you thought 20 years ago, right, Sasha? Sasha knows. Sasha knows more than anybody else in the room. The truth of you is not the thoughts you thought 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago. As this exercise has proved, you're all thinking different thoughts than you were when you got here an hour and a half ago. Yes? Yes. Okay. Those are the thoughts you think. And that's how you know you're coming from your heart and your head, because you're taking your heart, meaning the truth of you, and you're using your wonderful brain and you're carrying it out into the world. So that's really where it comes down to. And what does he say? Where will I move? Now, the thing about where will I move is, a lot of people, when they get worked up about where they're going to move, they come at it from a perspective of like, well, I'll just wait till some, you know, magical thing happens that indicates where I should go. And here's a good example of using the other one we talked about, asking your heart, okay, the truth of you. What kind of weather do I want to live in? Are there people that I want to live nearby? Is there a geographical area that I like better than others? Is there a reason why a certain part of the world fits better into me? And And not asking yourself from necessarily a mental thinking place, but asking yourself, where's the truth of me best emanated? Where do I think I can be the truth of me? We'll give you an example. Veronica can't be the truth of you or her where it's cold. It's not going to happen. She's going to be a bitchy little girl where it's cold. Guaranteed. You want to hear whining? Take her someplace cold. She will whine all day long. So there you go. Takes off like, you know, 3/4 of the planet, but there's the truth of her. She ain't going to go where it's cold. Now, maybe you don't care about the cold, or maybe you like the cold, or maybe you like altitude, or maybe you like sea level. Let yourself know what your truth is. Make a freaking list. What is true about me? I like to be where it's warm. I don't like a lot of people around me, right? I want to be within an hour of a symphony. Make a list about your truth. Don't come at it from thinking. Come at it from what's true. You see the difference? And you guys can all do this. What is true? And then don't think about your truths. Just write them down like we did tonight. We just wrote down whatever came up. And we said, don't judge them. 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 Write down your truths. And then you can ask for your soul's perspective. You can ask for insight. You can say, what is true about these truths? What is true about my truths? God, they sound really good about Sedona, Arizona, or they sound like Michigan, or they sound like Hawaii. Or my truth is, I have everything I really want here, so why am I unsettled here? Right? Why am I unsettled here? That's kind of like what we talked about to you about. The idea of, I'm not just a mom. So I'm not just a mom, but that doesn't make being a mom bad. It makes being a mom not everything I am. That's a huge thing to know. Okay, we got to keep going. Let's see. Where were we? Okay. Victoria. Yeah. Uncertain of experience of dream, awesome, beautiful, healthy body, dream, awesome, gated, beautiful estate.
Yeah, I couldn't make sense out of it either.
Victoria, we have to say that's a little hard for us to understand. So can you type out the thing that you think about the most that you're uncertain? And then the next line, the thing that you think about, you won't let yourself think about that you're uncertain about. Does anybody in the room want to go? Because we're running out of time.
I have a little short one, I think.
Okay, we'll put the microphone somewhere close to your mouth. She's like this, talking up in the air.
My list was, you know, BS. So I'm just abandoning it. Plus, it was about money. And so I have another thing that happened. I think I told you I lost my driver's license.
Yeah.
I think this is related to something that I'm uncertain about, which is, you know, how insightful, connection with my soul or something, how intuitive I am. So it felt like I lost it at Macy's. Mm-hmm. It felt like I didn't have to worry about it. Nobody had it. But, you know, there's a nagging little uncertainty like, ooh, gee, you know, maybe I should get on my credit thing and look. But I wouldn't do it because, I don't know, kind of didn't feel like anybody had it. Mm-hmm. And I got my other driver's license really fast. It's unbelievable. The DMV did it in like 3 days. Mm-hmm. that was about 5 weeks ago. My driver's license showed up today in the mail from Macy's. So I just want to wring everything out of that experience. Like, it seems like it has to do with me believing my intuition.
Yeah. And let's use a different word than intuition. Let's use doubting your connection to your soul's perspective.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Because we want to try to be consistent with the language.
Yeah.
But we know what you mean. But we want to use the language doubting you have a connection to your soul's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So next time something like that comes up, just say, wow, I'm tempted to doubt my connection to my soul's perspective. But I know that I don't need to doubt that. Right?
But I guess I needed 5 weeks to prove it to myself. I mean, holy cow, that's a long time. Okay, judgment.
Well, we weren't thinking judgment. We were just looking at why it took 5 weeks. And we think it took 5 weeks because in the meantime, you've done a lot of work on connecting with your soul's perspective with your website and stuff, you know, that you shared with Veronica. So we think it isn't so much that it took so long as it is that you have been doing so much frickin' work that you created an environment where having confirmation of connection with your soul's perspective made sense now.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Like if it had come in the first 2 days, you would have thought,
stopped. Yeah. Yeah. I would have stopped striving.
You might have stopped striving, or you might have just said, oh, that's right. I lost my driver's license and someone sent it to me. Instead of saying, you know, I knew it was at Macy's the whole damn time.
Yeah.
And remember last time when you lost your wallet at the BevMore or whatever it was?
Yeah, I got confirmation a little too soon. Or maybe it was good timing
But you knew where it was. You were confident it was there. And even when they said it wasn't, it turned out to be, right? So
the same thing at Macy's. They told me, no, it's not here.
Mm-hmm. So we just want to say, mostly, that you're on, all of you. Are on a very profound exploration of your soul's perspective, integrating your soul's perspective. We've been talking about this forever. But now when it starts to show up, remember last week the girls explained that we don't really know how it's going to show up. And then when it does start to show up, we can start telling you more about it. Well, in this case, we see it. It showed up. Your soul's perspective told you, by the way, it's at Macy's. And Macy said it's not. And you went with what Macy said rather than what your soul's perspective said.
Did I?
Well, your actions did. Your mind maybe didn't.
Well, I can't go for 5 weeks without my driver's license.
No. But we mean you didn't call again, right? When they said we don't have it, did you follow up again?
No.
Yeah.
Well, they said if they found it, they'd mail it to me, which is what they did.
Yeah.
Nothing. No words. Just my driver's license.
Yeah. We're just saying that if you know for sure that your driver's license is at Macy's and Macy's says they don't have it, go ahead and get a new driver's license because that's just sensible. But it would have been fascinating to check in with Macy's or to go back and say, you know, I'm really sure I lost my driver's license here. Where are other places it might be? Or, you know, this is it. Acting on the truth that you get from integrating your soul's perspective is going to be a big step. Last week, we don't know who it was that said, yeah, it's all well and good to get downloaded how to fly a helicopter, but are you going to feel comfortable flying around in the helicopter when it's the first time you've ever done it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the acting on your soul's perspective. And in the movie, she's like, I can fly a helicopter, no problem. But we suspect that if right now you guys were downloaded with how to fly a helicopter, it would be hard to rest in that knowledge, even if it felt true. The bottom line is the first time you've got your hand on the stick is the first time you've got your hand on the stick. So this is an example of that. You're clear your driver's license was at Macy's, but how to take that clarity and work with it is what we're learning together, how you guys are going to do.
I was more persistent with my wallet. Yeah. That was a little more important to me.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, they sent you one so fast. They sent you a new one so fast that it kind of got over fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're running out of time here. So we got to just see if we told Victoria we would do hers. Will my body be super healthy? Least, can I get this house that I want? Unsure of full recovery of health is the most consuming concern. Who'd we do first? Was it you? And didn't you have body and house? Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We bookended tonight's meeting. There's this sense, Victoria, in your question of, can I have something that feels unhavable? We know that's not a word. We don't care. Can I have something that feels unattainable? I guess is probably how you guys say it. But unhavable actually feels more energetically correct. The idea that I want to have it and I don't know if I can have it. Am I havable? And again, it comes back to what is in your lap, who you are now, what's true about you now. What's true about me now? What's true about me now is my leg hurts and I got to call the mortgage company, right? Stay out of over here, out this way. A little bit like we talked to Leslie about earlier. Stay out of over here and bring it here. What's true here? What's true here? What's true here? What's the first step I need to do is another way of saying it. What's right now? What's the right now thing? And the temptation is to be in, will I ever, will I ever, will I ever? But it doesn't give you anything except pain. Will I ever, will I ever, will I ever is one of the most painful things you guys do to yourselves. Because it's not what's in your lap. It's not what's in the moment. It's not what's true about you now. It's will I ever, will I ever, will I ever. And we know sometimes you're lonely, or you wish you had a partner, or you wish you had a better job, or you wish you had a house, or you wish you were healthy. We understand. We're not being insensitive. We're just saying it doesn't help. So will I ever have the house I want is what can I do in this moment to move toward that? It changes everything to change that energetic. Got it?
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Will I ever, will never give you what is in my lap will give you, which is actually in this moment, ability to walk into the truth of you moving into the world. And will I ever generate so much uncertainty? We could go around the circle right now and come up with some of the best will I evers, right? Will I evers are easy. They're super easy. And it's a really big time suck, energy suck. It's a real great place to put comfortable suffering. Will I ever? And we understand, we're not making fun of you guys, but we're reflecting the energy that you show us. The will I ever energy is kind of like, will I ever? You see it? This energy? Will I ever, right? You've all done it, so that's why you're laughing. We're not laughing at Victoria by any means. We're laughing at ourselves. Will I ever? Instead of, what is now? What is the truth of me right now? What is the truth of me right now? So in all your uncertainties, one of the things you can do when you feel uncertain, when you find yourself uncertain, when you want to dance in uncertainty, as Fred asked you to do, is to say, what is true now about my uncertainty? Now you can say, well, it's true that I'm uncertain. Sure. If you want to stop there, go right ahead. But we think tonight, with all of you almost, and with a bunch of people on the internet, we've given you a nugget of the generator of why you feel uncertain in the first place. So you can ask yourself, what is true now about the generation of that uncertainty that I can think about instead of just feeling uncertain? Now, this doesn't give you certainty. Notice we didn't give you a pill or a shot. We did say, this will fix you. We said, looking at these questions, looking at these situations, looking at these energies is going to help you experience the truth of you in this moment, which is going to give you clarity about your experience rather than will I evers and various other uncertainties about your experience. Because we know you guys well enough to know that when you feel clear about your experience, you can change it. You can modify it. It becomes clay, right? You can play with it. You can do anything with it if you're clear. If you stay in the position of uncertainty, You get in that will I ever dazed and confused woo-woo eyes kind of place. So when Fred says dance in surprise and uncertainty, what he's saying is dance in it rather than just space out in it, act in it, craft it. Got it? Does this make sense? You guys all getting it? Everybody feeling like they've got enough? Was that plenty? Oh, yeah, you guys are all like, hey, guess we got plenty tonight. And the internet people got to play along, and nobody else gets to talk because it's late and we're done, and you guys don't need any more anyway. All right? Yeah? So you can take this home. You can look at the rest of your questions or uncertainties on your list, and you can take your nugget, and then maybe next week you guys can come and we can talk about your nuggets after you've played with them a little bit and see what else comes out of this exercise. Yeah, because for Veronica, when we did the experience with her, what happened is it completely turned around her uncertainties. And then she started to dance in them because instead for her, a lot what came up was some shame she didn't know she had. And so now when she thinks about the things she was uncertain about, she does feel like she's dancing in it because instead of being shamed about it, she feels proud or positive or constructive about it instead of shameful. So you can see how big of a flop that is. So we would say to you, see where you come into having that different experience of these things. This doesn't just go away. Bring these lists next week so that we can look at them some more. Okay, please. All right. Thank you, internet people. We appreciate you participating. That was fun. And we will be here again next week to do some more on this same topic. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.